Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
It is a new year. We all are getting dressed. We're going to the synagogue. We're going to hear the shofar blown. We're going to be praying and asking God that he give us a good year. We are going to be crowning God as king. This is a big, big ceremonious type of prayer and observance that we have on Rosh Hashanah. And yet there are people who are so depressed for whatever reasons in their life that they're so depressed they can't even get out of bed, let alone going to the synagogue, standing, praying, crowning God as the king, praying for a good year, for a happy year, for a blessed year. I had a listener that emailed me and asked me specifically to do a show on depression. I never thought about doing a show like that before, but I like to hear from you all. And if I feel that it's something that can help our audience, our listeners, I want to be able to do it. And so we're going to be speaking with two different people who are counselors and help people with their depression. Help them get out of it, help them live their lives. If you have any comments, you have any questions, feel free to call into the show. We are live if you're listening between 7 to 8 a.m. on Tuesday morning here in Israel, or if it's between midnight to 1 a.m. U.S. Eastern Time, that means that we are live and you can call in with your comments or questions. Two different people to give two different takes of how they counsel people with depression. People who are depressed, God forbid, it could even lead to suicide. But at the very least, it makes us non-functional. And if we're living, if we're breathing, if we have eyes to see, if we have hands to use and legs to use, and we can go about doing things with our day, and yet we're incapacitated because of depression, a very serious thing, we've got to know what to do. So, depression, what is it and how do we beat it? We'll be right back.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Bentekoa, and each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany is but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
All right, we are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on Israel News Talk Radio. And we're talking today about depression. What is it and how do we beat it in order to have a better year ahead of us that we are all praying for? So we're speaking right now with Big Mike. That's the name he goes by. Big Mike is an addiction and crisis counselor who has complex PTSD and suffers himself from depression. He has taken time off to heal and prepare for his next chapter in life and shares his experiences and wisdom with us. So welcome to the show, Big Mike.
Yeah.
Do we have you on?
No.
Okay. Hey,
yeah,
there.
You do. You hear me?
Yes, we hear you fine.
Hi. Hi, beautiful.
So depression, where would you like to start?
I mean, well, I'd like to start with something that I think is very important. I want people to know that depression is something real and it's not just made up in our heads and whatever. It's like you want to ask a guy with a broken leg to run a marathon. Someone who's suffering from depression has a real, you know, real disease. Like it's not, mental illness is very often you know, what's the word I'm looking for? People think it's something like, oh, you just suck it up or pull yourself up by the bootstraps or something like that. It's not that we don't want to, it's that we can't. So very often we need medical treatment. Very often we'll need like therapies, you know, drugs, you know, different pharmaceuticals and such, you know. And so I want people to recognize that, you know, because there is some sort of stigma that is attached to mental illness.
So. Right, right. Okay. And so I know that many times when people are depressed, they just can't function. They can't even get out of bed. They can't put a comb through their hair. They can't brush their teeth. They feel helpless, hopeless. Tell us more about that and how to beat it.
Okay, well, first off, there's really, like, to oversimplify it, there's really two basic types of depression, right? You have one that's more chemical, right? Which is, you know, because of, you know, things that are in your brain, you know, things that stop us from doing, like, the normal functions that other people have. So you have these electrical impulses that go, that's how your nerves talk. So very often people who have chemical problems, it's like the nerves just aren't talking right. The second type is more based off of like a trauma where it's like something happened and it's, you know, and that, and it affects you through and through your entire body because we really feel our trauma. People have been through traumas understand that it's like, it's a physiological thing that, you know, that like when you have cancer, it's in your body and you can feel it and you feel its effects. It's the same thing with depression. So now we have to first determine like which type it is. You know, if somebody has like a chemical, you know, it's chemical, it, then very often, you know, the first thing we want to do is go to a psychiatrist and get the proper medication, which takes a while to make sure that we get the right medications. And even so, you still got to go through therapy to heal what's, you know, what ails you, you know. And if it's trauma based, then you need to deal with the trauma. Like myself, like I had to go through like somatic experience in the beginning, then I had to go through EMDR, you know, which is a more intensive treatment, you know, to be able to deal with my traumas so I can get out of my depression.
So depression could it easily be just something like a breakup with someone or someone your partner died?
So there's a difference between grief, mourning, you know, sadness and depression, right? We all have grief in our life, you know. We all have sadness, you know. You know, there's like when we go through, there's five stages of grief, you know, and mourning's part of that, you know, and there's a definite loss that we feel when like a partner dies or a parent or a family member or the such. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get depressed. You know, you're going to be in a state where it's like, where getting out of bed requires more energy than a marathon runner to run a marathon. You know, it's like we're fighting battles that other people can't understand, which, you know, we look fun, but then we're just stuck, you know, and we need help to get out of that.
Right. Let's talk about that help for a minute, because I remember many years ago when I suffered a miscarriage, and it was one in my fifth or sixth month already. So it was quite serious. And I remember I was in a depression, and in order to stop the pain, I just stopped feeling. And then one day I realized I'm not happy, and I'm usually a very happy person. And I realized that when I cut off the pain and became numb, I also became numb to happiness. And that's when I realized that I needed to, realize the period I was in and to work through that myself. But what does somebody else do? So let's say somebody realizes that they're in depression, they know it, but they just can't find a way out. What is the cure? There's no cure, I don't know, but what do they do?
Well, I mean, okay, so someone who's more trauma-based, for instance, first thing you have to do is understand that it's trauma-based and then go through the traumas. You have to face what ails you, as they say. You know, if I'm not willing to face the pain, like you, if you look at any self-help group, right, that you know, especially ones that are 12-step based, you know, they want you to face what's going on. You know, they want you to have this moral inventory and understand of like what's really going on inside of you. And without going through that, you know, it's like I'm not going to be able to heal. because I can just push things down and push things down and push things down and live in the state of denial or just repress my repress what's going on. But exactly like you just said, I'm not going to feel good. You know, it, without feeling the bad, I don't feel the good. Without feeling the good, I don't feel the bad.
So who do they turn to? What do they do? What is the, do they pick up the phone? What should someone be doing?
Well, picking up the phone is definitely a good thing. You know, calling licensed therapists, you know, talking to somebody, you know, finding the right person to help you, you know, because it's really a lot about relationships and trust. You know, I'm not willing to go to somebody that I don't trust to help me through my pain. You know, that's just the way it is. Like I can go to any Tom, Dick, or Harry and be like, hey, you're a licensed therapist. I need you to help me. That may not be the guy. You know, when I was working as an addictions counselor, I wasn't the most licensed. I didn't have the most degrees. I didn't do this, that, or whatever. But I was very successful with the people I was successful with because I had a connection with them. It was about that relationship. Mm-hmm. Because I'm not doing it alone. I have to do it with somebody, you know, and that person that I'm doing it with is able to guide me and to help show me the way that I have to go. Kind of like a personal trainer when I'm exercising.
What about if a person is afraid of the cost? They're thinking, I can't afford an analyst or a counselor. I can't afford that. What do they do?
Well, in Israel, socialized medicine, you know, thank God the Kupa, you know, covers, you know, therapy, but there are many organizations throughout the world that help people out, you know?
So if you're in the United States, let's say.
So if you're in the United States, you know, for instance, like, I know, like, you know, you have organizations like Amudim that help people out, right? You know, it's like, that's in the Jewish world. You know, I would contact, I know that not everybody here is Jewish, so I would contact my minister or rabbi or whomever and see what they know.
Your spiritual leader. Interesting.
Exactly, because here's the thing, though. More than likely, your spiritual leader, in the course of him getting his training or her training, you know, they were able to get some sort of training in this, you know, and know what they can deal with and what they can't. And they also know other organizations that are local that can help you. You know, like, for instance, you know, someone who's raped, you know, there's a rape crisis center in almost every town in America, you know, so it's like there's a way to get help there. You know, the Jewish Federation or, you know.
What if a person's too embarrassed to ask someone that they know, like their rabbi or their spiritual leader?
Well, it's hard. So very often, you know, somebody else has got to get the help for them. I mean, that's what happened with me. Like when I broke down, you know, I wasn't able to ask for help. You know, there were others that were there, friends, my ex, you know, who helped me get the help I needed.
Are there hotlines in every country that people can call if they want to remain anonymous because they're embarrassed for some reason or whatever?
You know, there are. I don't necessarily have the numbers, you know, but yeah, there are. Like you have various hotlines for different issues. You know, like I know there's suicide hotline in every country. There's like, I know that there's some depression hotlines. Not all in all countries, but I know there are some.
So they could even just call an operator and say, can I have a suicide hotline in this area?
Yeah, exactly.
We only have another 1 minute. What do you want to leave people with?
I want to leave people with the idea that never to lose hope. You know, for whatever you're going through, that there is a way out of it. You know, it may take time. You know, when I first got sober back in 95, it didn't take right away. It took me 7 years before I was actually able to get sober, you know, and stay sober. It took its course, you know. So just remember that. You have to give time. You have to be patient, and it requires a lot of love. When I broke down, I really want to thank the community of Remote Bet, because without them, I'd be dead right now. You know, and it was like they all band together to help me, you know, and it was something that I really needed. Wow. You know, there were many people involved, and it's not something that we can fight alone. And if people feel they are alone, they don't realize how many people are really there fighting for them. They just need to like take that first step and people will come out of the woodwork, because that's what happened with me.
Yeah.
You know.
All right. Well, this, Mike, you've given us some very, very good pointers here, and I'm very happy to hear that you got this help and that there are people out there. And today, I think it might be easier than ever with social networking, being able to communicate with people. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
No problem.
Have a happy new year.
You too, Shnatova.
When we get back, we'll be speaking with another counselor. Don't go anywhere.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country. From Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
All right, we are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on Israel News Talk Radio. And we're speaking now about depression. And our next guest is Dr. Yosef Milstein. He's a clinical psychologist who specializes in addictions, compulsive behaviors, and relational conflicts. He recently moved back to Israel after working in a residential treatment facility for addictions in Los Angeles. Dr. Milstein believes that building self-worth is the key to success in healing relationships and overcoming mental health challenges. Welcome to the show, Dr. Yosef Milstein.
Yes, hi, good morning. Thank you so much for having me on.
So I had introduced the show talking about the holiday of Rosh Hashanah that we are in now, this period, and we are all praying for a good new year, and yet some of us can't even get out of bed to go to the synagogue to be able to pray for ourselves, to be able to do the things that we need to do in life because we just can't even move. We are so incapacitated from depression. So maybe you can differentiate between depression and sadness for us and how to fix it.
Yeah, sure. Definitely, we can speak about that. So sadness is something like a more of a situational kind of feeling that a person has, and it's completely normal, it's completely healthy to feel sad. For example, you just had Big Mike on the show, and I love Big Mike. We were actually roommates in Yeshiva many, many years ago, and I was very close with him. For many of those years I was living in the States, he was living here and now it's switched. I'm living in Israel and he's living back in the States. And I'm sad that we're not close. I'm sad we're not physically close to each other, that we can't sit down and have those cups of coffee, you know, but I'm very, very connected with him and I love him and I think about him often. So sadness, that's fine. It's fine to feel sad, just like it's fine to feel happy, angry. These are all normal feelings that a person has. Depression is more of it's a much stronger, much deeper, there's much deeper issues going on with depression. Depression isn't just situational. Depression is something like a constant dark cloud that's hanging over the person. And there are situations that trigger the depression to come out when a person realizes they're depressed. But most of all, it's kind of hiding underneath the surface. And the biggest issue with one of the core symptoms of depression is loneliness. And the reason that people feel lonely when they're depressed is because they don't feel connected. There's a lack of connection there. And the lack of connection is something that's actually where the lack of connection, the loneliness is actually what can lead a person to having thoughts of suicide. Like, I'm alone in this world. Nobody cares about me. Nobody's thinking about me. So that's basically where something like a suicidal ideation would come in. Whereas sadness, on the other hand, sadness is basically I feel sad today because I lost somebody or I'm sad because my team, even sadness and something as trivial as my team, the team that I love didn't win the football game or whatever it is. I can feel sad for that, but I'll move on in life. A similar way of understanding is in the terms of anger as well. Like, it's totally healthy, totally normal to feel angry. We get angry at certain things, but rage is not a healthy kind of anger. Rage is bubbling under the surface, and then some kind of situation triggers the rage to come out, where a person can get violent, or they're yelling, or they basically lose control. And it's known that when a person's raging, it's not the thing that they're raging about at that moment that's causing the rage. It's been something bubbling up like a pressure cooker, and the situation just kind of triggered, it kind of popped off the top of the pressure cooker, and all of the steam started coming out. So depression's the same thing. Depression is kind of hiding under the surface, and then something triggers it to really come out, where the person can either be dissociating completely and just sitting in bed for many hours or many days, just lying in bed and like totally puts the blinds down and doesn't even go out. It doesn't even talk to anybody. So that's more of a difference between depression and sadness, just right. A quick way of looking at it.
Right. Yes. And so how do we change things for this new year? We want to go into the new year and we want to be better people. We want to enjoy the life and the gifts that God has given us. And yet we feel incapacitated.
Okay, so just in terms of talking about the word depression and being feeling not connected, the idea is that really we're not connected to God. That's the easiest way of explaining it. I mean, that's what's happening. We're not connected to God. And that's where this big depression comes from. Like when a person's on the internet and you're like surfing for things, or you're talking to whoever, and all of a sudden you lose that connection, think about the feelings that a person starts having. They feel a little frustrated. They feel anxious. They even start getting angry, like, I got it. You know, like if you're trying to get on WhatsApp and it just says that connecting, you know, like that never-ending hole of the circle going around. Like, why am I not connected? You know, like feeling that. So that's basically what's happening with our souls, trying to connect to God. We're not connected to God. So when we're trying so hard, like our bodies are, our souls are telling us, you need to connect to God. So how do we work that out, especially coming up this time of year? See, Rosh Hashanah is a very auspicious time. It's a time where we say that the king is in the field, right? God's king, he's king of the entire universe. So this is a very auspicious time for us to connect to God, for us to really, you know, to do certain things to connect to God. The things that we do are we go pray for a very long time on the holiday. We listen to the shofar, you know, they blow the shofar. These are things that we do to crown God king, so to speak. Like that's what we're doing. The problem that people have is that when they make their New Year's resolutions, if they're depressed, let's say, they're not making resolutions to reconnect to God. They're making other resolutions like, I need to diet, I need to eat, I need to lose weight or whatever it is, I need to exercise. And those are great goals. Those are goals that you can set for the entire year. But specifically, if you're working on depression, you need to, and you're not connected to God, that's the goals that you need to have.
But what happens if you're an atheist or you're agnostic?
Right. So if you're an atheist, if you're an agnostic, agnostic actually is a little easier because then you can talk about your higher power. So interestingly, in the 12 steps, right, when we're talking about addictions in 12 steps, we talk about it's called a higher power. So the idea is to connect to something greater or something outside of you, something that's beyond you. So that's the idea. You can call, so for the atheist or the agnostic, you can call it your higher power. You're connecting to something beyond you. See, that's what's really great about actually success in recovery and addictions. One of the core features of being successful is called fellowship, getting people to go to meetings.
I'm going to stop you there for a moment because we're getting close to the end of this segment, and we did get a phone call in. The caller does not want to come on the air, but he spoke with my technician, so I'm going to put my technician on, and he's going to ask the question. Go ahead.
Hi. So the question that he's asking is, he's saying if a person takes a medication, he does everything, he meets a psychologist and, people that help him, but he still feels depressed. What should a person like that do?
Okay, so medication, as Big Mike was also saying, medication needs to go with therapy. They go together. It's not enough for a person. See, depression isn't something like a headache where you can just take a Tylenol or an Advil and then you're okay with that. Medication takes a while to get into the system and to work properly. Excuse me. Sometimes medications, you need to be in constant contact with your psychiatrist. If a person's on medication, then a person needs to keep their psychiatrist updated. And there's things that a person can use. There's like a BDI called the Beck Depression Inventory. There are scales that you can, test that a person can do to see like where your depression's holding. But on top of that, therapy is very, very important. A person should be going to a therapist. And if you're not finding that you're moving forward with your therapist, then you find another therapist. But really, really, really at the core of the depression, if a person's not feeling, if they're just feeling they're not moving forward, there's other aspects that they could bring other aspects in, changing their diet around exercising, trying to do these other things to get out. You just have to get out. That's the idea. Depression is lonely in the sense that we keep dissociating from people. We stay away from people. We don't want to connect to people. But and by the way, there's also something called functioning depression, which is a whole other aspect. We could spend a whole show on functioning depression where the person does look like they're out there and they look like they're working, but they're not connected to people. They're not really connected to people. So the way to do it is to try to connect to people. And as Big Mike said, one of the things that hinders the connection is if I don't trust people. So if I don't trust people because I've had a history of trauma or something happened to me in the past, that's where therapy comes in. See, medication's not going to help the person build trust. Medication can maybe open up a person a little bit, but the real trust is going to come by breaking down the barrier that's causing me not to trust. What's hindering my trusting somebody else and opening up to somebody?
Okay, so you're saying that we need to go and exercise and do things like, you know, even for a person who's not depressed, it's hard to make yourself get up and exercise, let alone if you're so depressed you can't even comb your hair in the morning or brush your teeth. Now, some people will say, well, just give them a good kick in the behind, you know, don't listen, coddle them, just give them a good kick in the behind. What would you say about that?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I remember watching a video, Brene Brown, she had a video on depression, and the way she explained it was, imagine if a person's sitting in a dark room and you walk in there and you just flip the lights on really fast. You imagine sitting in a dark room for a very long time and you flip the lights on, like you can't see, your eyes just can't handle it. Just can't handle it. So if you're kicking somebody out, you're kicking somebody forward to move forward, it's not going to get them. It can hurt them even more. It can hurt them more. As like once, you know, if the person's, as Mike said, if the person has a broken leg and you try to force them to run a marathon, that's not going to work. So I think what she said in the video, what she said is you sit with that person, let them know that you're there. Let them know that they feel supported. Let them, as a turtle coming out of its shell, let them start feeling some kind of peace that somebody cares about them. And then they'll see if they, and give them the time, don't push them at all, give them the time and see how they start opening up. And they will, if it's genuine, if there's empathy and there's a real connection, people will come out. Like a person will start coming out of their shell, you know, to connect to another person.
All right. Well, we've come to the end of this segment. When we get back, if you want to call in, we'll take your calls. Also, we'll try to address the healing and New Year's resolutions. That is something that all of us can connect to, whether you're depressed or not. We'll be back. And again, you can call in. Our numbers are on our homepage at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Hello, I am Walter Bingham. If you want to hear the news behind the news and the true perspective on world affairs, then the Walter Bingham File is the program for you. We bring you interviews with the movers and shakers, political commentaries, and on-the-spot reports of events as they happen. All here every Tuesday, 4 p.m. Israel time, 9 a.m. Eastern time. And it's all archived on our website. Make it a date.
Our topic today, depression. What is it and how do we beat it? How do we make this new year? We're in the Rosh Hashanah holiday season. How do we make this new year a better one? How do we heal if you find that you are depressed? Our guest right now is Dr. Yosef Milstein. He's a clinical psychologist, and he is here answering your questions. If you would like to call in with a question, feel free to do so. Our numbers are on our homepage at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Call in now so we can get you on the air. If you wait, we will not be able to have the time to get you on. So before we left the last part of the show, we were talking about connecting with God, finding a purpose and a connection. And I want to ask you about healing and resolutions, New Year's resolutions that we all have.
Okay, so many, many years ago, I was in a lecture with this Dr. Avraham Tversky. He's a psychiatrist. He's a clinical psychiatrist, and I think he runs a residential treatment center in Pennsylvania. He's also a very popular rabbi as well. So in the lecture, he was speaking about New Year's. He was actually speaking about the secular New Year's, and there's a basic idea in the secular New Year's that people, there's a lot of partying, a lot of drinking, drug use. So what's the reason for that? What's the reason for this starting off the New Year's that way? So people will first say, well, the main reason is because we're trying to start the year off with a bang. You know, going to the year partying, that's the way you want to start off the year, like completely, you know, happy, as happy as you can, having no cares in the world. You know, that's the what people think starting off the New Year's is in the secular world. But Rabbi Tversky said, no, that's not. That doesn't seem to be the real reason behind it. The reason behind it is if the person's drinking or using drugs, that's pulling them out of reality. If a person was really happy in reality, they wouldn't want to take a vacation from reality. So if a person's using drugs or whatever, they're pulling them out of the reality, so to speak. So there's something else going on there. So Rav Tversky says that what he believes it is what the person's doing is they look back on their year, right? It's the end of the year. They're looking back on their year. And they're saying that all those resolutions they made in the beginning of the year, they didn't come true. Nothing, none of that happened. They didn't do any of that. It's another year passed. They haven't really moved forward in life. Mm-hmm. So the real reason that they're using the drugs or the alcohol is because they're depressed. Their depression comes out. The New Year's is triggering a depression. So that's the reason that that many, many people, it's not everybody. I mean, people do. There are people that have fun and can celebrate the New Year's the way it is. But many, many people, it's the idea that I can't believe another year passed and my life hasn't gotten any better. So let me just, you know, drink what I can, get out of myself, get out of the state of mind. Kind of, we call it like self-medication theory.
All right. We're gonna run to a caller because we do have a long distance call all the way from Sydney, Australia. We have joining us Ross. Shalom, Ross. What's your comment or question for us?
Shalom, Tamar. Thank you for a great topic. We find that it's definitely a two-stage process. I'm involved in treating this kind of conditions. And the first stage is to get off the merry-go-round. Often in life, you know, you get on thing and you just keep going round and you keep doing the same mistakes over and over again and your life just sort of cycles somewhat. So the first thing is to get off the merry-go-round and give yourself some time out, whether it's massages or exercise or step away from work or family commitments, whatever it is. And then the second stage is to refocus your attention on something in the future. And that's where you start to, you know, move into that rehabilitative phase.
Well, those are really good ideas. So basically, do things that bring you happiness to help you lift you from the depression,
yeah.
And also to have plans, make plans for the future. That is a very, very, very good suggestion. Do you want to comment on that, Dr. Milstein? Thank you for your call, Ross.
Yes, absolutely. Those are awesome ideas of things. I mean, I think there's Einstein that said, like, what's the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over again, thinking you're going to get different results. So getting off the merry-go-round is a great metaphor of explaining what it is. And that's what happens when I remember working in the treatment center when people would be coming in for recovery. Over and over again, they get into the same habits. One of the high reasons that people relapse and get back into the drugs is because they get back into their old habits. Alcohol is called a lonely man's disease, or addiction. I'm sorry, addiction is called a lonely man's disease. Addiction feeds loneliness, basically. It keeps feeding the loneliness. So once again, it's talking about the fellowship, getting people out of their loneliness, getting them into meetings, getting them connected with other people. Mm-hmm. That's a key way of getting a person out of their addiction, out of their depression, I should say.
Yes, right. Because when you have a support group, then you always have somebody that you can pick up a phone and call when you're in that mood. Let's go now to another caller we have joining us, Alan from Israel. Shalom, Alan. What's your comment or question for us here at Israel News Talk Radio?
Hi, Tamar. Good morning. First of all, Yisher Koach on the great work you do. It's the whole thing, I believe, of depression is a thing of the soul. Depression is a spiritual problem, so it's got to do with the neshama. And the main purpose of our neshama, what keeps the neshama happy.
And neshama, by the way, is your soul,
is
for anybody
soul,
who doesn't
yeah.
know. Go ahead.
Everybody's soul. The whole purpose of one's soul is the union of giving. If the person is not in a giving mode, he must go into depression. That's why a person who is ill and has no friends visiting and nobody coming in. He loses his will to carry on and goes into depression. I saw it in an incident recently with birds. A pair of doves came to my balcony and made a nest, and they hatched out the eggs, and a raven came and ate the two babies, the two chicks that were hatched out. And to my amazement, the mother attacked the raven, which obviously had no chance. And I asked myself the question, why would a mother attack the raven after another 2 weeks' time, those chicks would be old enough to fly away and had no connection at all? And I did questions about that in the whole animal world of why there's such a connection between the mother and the kittens or babies or whatever they have. And the reason is that while that animal is giving, as feeding and looking after the babies, there's an attachment. The moment the connection is broken and no more giving, that's when the separation happens.
Okay, and so he's talking about attachment and giving. What do you have to say about that? Thank you for your call, Alan.
Okay.
What do you have to say about that to Alan?
Yeah, attachment and giving, by the way, comes through as he was just connecting it to what he was saying earlier in terms of spirituality. Like it's a core starter for attachment and moving forward in life in terms of giving to others, by the way, is always awesome. In fact, you want people who are depressed to get involved in volunteering. Go work in a soup kitchen, go whatever it is, volunteer your time, you know, whatever it is. In fact, also just connecting once again back to the 12 steps in AA and NA meetings, fellowship, what the 12th step is actually giving to somebody else. How do you stay recovered? How do you stay in sobriety? You continuing to give to other people that are new coming into the program. So giving is a huge part of helping us to get out of our depression, to stay connected to other people.
I want to emphasize that in the 12 step programs, that's right. In order to be a sponsor and in your own recovery, you want to sponsor other people. You want to give. So that's a very good point.
Yes. So giving and that's classic. If you want to talk about cognitive behavioral therapies like CBT, is if we can't really control our underlying emotions, but we can't control our behavior. So just get out there and start volunteering. Like, just get out there and volunteer, do things, do acts of kindness to other people, and that will help. It will help.
Okay, so we only have 2 minutes left. Let's say, again, you're depressed. You can't even get out of bed and comb your hair, and you're saying, well, go out and help people. In these last 2 minutes, what do we do? What's the best thing to do?
All right, so spirituality it's become such a huge – people in the therapy world, people talk about working on your spirituality, and then also whether you're agnostic, atheist, or you're a believer of God, any of those things, spirituality is something that every single person can have in their life. So there's if you want quick little things of doing for spirituality, work on meditation. A person can download, there's apps like Insight Timer. You can do a 5-minute body scan every day. By the way, depression, what they say is depression is constantly living in the past and anxiety is constantly living in the future. So what we want to try to do is get the person to be present. So how do we get present? Meditation is a fantastic way to get present. It's basically sitting there focusing on what's happening right now, or if meditation means focusing, but letting things just bounce off of you when you get present with yourself. And a body scan allows you to feel what's happening inside of your body. So meditation is a great, and even somatic experience, somatic therapy is the same idea. Get what's happening inside of you, feel what's happening inside of you, and then you can start moving forward after that. So meditation is a great quick tool for that. A 5-minute, body scan is great for that. If a person can't pick up the phone, one thing that I think is a powerful tool, self-worth, building my self-worth, feeling that I'm a person that I can care about myself. Look in the mirror, do it in the morning, do it at night. It takes 3 seconds, just look in the mirror. Look at that person looking at you and just say, I love you. Just say, I love you to yourself in the mirror. I'm not saying this isn't going to, it's not a cure-all, but I promise every single person that does this, I've done it myself. You look in the mirror and you don't have to doll yourself up. Look at yourself with your hair, with your morning, your bedhead, whatever it is. Just say, I love you to the person in the mirror. It's amazing how you've built, you start feeling like, wow, I have to build up my love for myself. Because ultimately, if I don't love myself, how can I love somebody else? There's an African saying, beware of a naked man who offers you a shirt. You know, like if I don't have something to give somebody else, if I don't have it for myself, how can I give it to somebody else? So I have to work on loving myself.
Good point. I just want to end this with, again, you've got to ask for help. If you are finding yourself that you're hopeless, you've got to reach out, pick up the phone. Go to a hotline if you want to remain anonymous. Find your spiritual leader. Go to your medical insurance and ask them for help and for guidance. Look in the mirror, as Dr. Milstein said. Tell yourself you love you. You know, the fact that you are alive and on this earth means that God finds value in you and you have worth. And tell yourself you love you. Even if you don't feel like you love you, tell yourself you do, because God loves you. And that's the message we should take on this Rosh Hashanah holiday. Love yourself. Connect with God. Connect with people who can help you. Dr. Milstein, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you, and I bless everybody with a sweet new year coming into this new year.
Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. Just click the orange button at the top of the IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com homepage, log in as yourself or an anonymous guest, and join in on the fun. You'll meet other listeners from all over the world who listen to Israel News Talk Radio, and you can make new friends. Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. It's the closest you can get to being in the studio with us.
We love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.